We had to leave that report with Wissam Al-Bayati there to go live to Geneva once again, where President Ahmadinejad is holding a press conference.
In the invitation, we have to, we only have a brief meeting because the president has another schedule. If you have any question, please introduce yourself first and then ask the question. Maybe President Ahmadinejad has an introduction remarks.
Allahumma ajjal li waliyyika al-faraj wal-afiyata wan-nasr waj'alna min khayri ansarihi wa awanihi wal-mustashhadina bayna yaday.
I wish to express my sincere welcome to the distinguished participants in this press conference and representatives of the media. As you know, the meeting today was about the most important issues of the world, an issue that was regarded as a challenge over the past 200 years and inflicted tremendous sufferings on the human beings and to the world community. Racism is a product of ignorance and arrogance and the feeling of considering oneself superior to others. Racism was the main contributor of wars and armed conflicts in the world. Distinguished friends, the world is undergoing major changes today, and these developments seem to be necessary and inevitable. The international community is no longer able to live in an stalemated situation. A wrong definition of humanitarian principles and humanitarian values based on discrimination should inevitably change. Today, we should undertake efforts to build a new world, a world where there is no racism, no arrogance, and no sense of superiority over others. No aggression and no massacre of human beings, no genocide or racism. This is a universal responsibility, and I call upon, I thank you all for your participation in this conference to convey the message of peace and brotherhood in defiance of racism. And I thank you very much for your efforts. Now I am ready to listen to you, to ask, to answer the questions within the time frame Mr. Tabatabai also announces. Please ask very brief questions.
Kuwait News Agency. Mr. President, days ago you announced that you will have an initiative or an overture to the United States. What is your position today, after they did not attend this conference? And how will you move to better relations between you and President Obama? Thank you.
We have always been seeking a relationship based on mutual respect and justice. We have, and we want relations with all independent countries. The United States unilaterally severed relations and ties with Iran 29 years ago. The then government of the United States believed that by breaking ties, they would punish the people of Iran and they would punish the people by imposing economic sanctions, thus preventing the course of development. But now our nation has proved once more that they are more and more dynamic, and they are going through rapidly the course of development. The government of the United States has announced that it is going to introduce basic changes. We welcome these basic changes. In our opinion, change is necessary, especially at this current situation, without any change in policies or in behaviors. It is not possible to correct the trend of the world affairs today. We are waiting for practical changes, and we support dialogue based on mutual respect and recognized principles of justice.
Monsieur le Président, je suis Nidal Ahmadet, journal libanais.
Nidal Ahmadet from Al Ittihad in Lebanon. My question is, in your statement just now, you said that the veto rights in the Security Council should be abolished. Could this be considered an initiative from Iran to ensure that Muslims would have a veto, or would you just call upon the Council to abandon this veto right, which favors some countries above others?
Thank you for the question. You see that the Security Council today has become very much inefficient. The Security Council failed to prevent the military attack against Lebanon and Gaza. The Security Council failed to find the solutions to the problems in Iraq and in Afghanistan. The Security Council was not able to put an end to the armed conflicts in Africa. In our opinion, the reason for this inefficiency should be found in the structures of the Security Council. The right to veto is a clear example of discrimination. Why should a limited number of countries enjoy such privileges? If democracy is the criterion, every government should have a voting right. If the basis is participation, there should be one vote for each nation. If they think they should have and enjoy the veto right, it means that every one of these countries, in their relationship with other nations, are both the claimants and respondents, the prosecutors, the judges, and finally they issue the sentence. And countries that that are in dispute with the veto countries, they are losers because, in our opinion, the veto right is a discrimination, a flagrant example of discrimination. And we said that this discrimination must be lifted and eliminated. We think that those who want to promote peace and sustainable security, they should achieve these goals through a collective cooperation and global partnership, participation based on justice and amicable ties. And under the current circumstances, those who are not able to cope with the realities of the day, and those who want to impose these inefficient mechanisms on world nations.
My name is Alhaji Gorki Waddindoy, Senegalese journalist. Dear President, J'ai deux questions. La première,
I have two questions. In your statement today, you assimilated Zionism to racism, and we know that that is the reason why some states didn't attend this conference. Could you not have avoided making that reference in your statement? And secondly, here in Geneva, can you confirm that it was you who said that Israel's existence should be ended? And what are your ambitions for African countries, since you were talking about multilateralism? Thank you.
We support the African nations and the African peoples. We think Africa has tremendous and enormous resources and talents. Africa is a continent of human cultures, and we think the African people and African governments, without the interference of other countries, are able to restore and maintain peace and security in their continents. But you said some countries did not participate in the meeting, or they left the meeting. I should say here, announce here loudly my regret for that. First, the main issue of the main agenda of the conference was racism. Are they supporting racism or racial discrimination? So why shouldn't they participate in a conference which is aimed at discussing and eliminating racism? And the second point is that the United Nations should be the symbol and manifestation of democracy and freedom of expressions. Everybody must enjoy the right to freely express his or her opinions. And third, we should not be intolerant of listening to the opinions of others. In my visit to New York, I was in the conference, and I listened to the speeches of the President of the United States. This is based on the teachings of our culture. We should listen to all and to choose the best opinions and ideas. And those who consider themselves the harbingers and advocates of freedom of expression or freedom of information, why should they be afraid of participating in such a conference or listening to something which goes against their opinions? In our opinion, this is arrogance, selfishness, and this is the root cause of many of the problems existing in the world community. I should say that 2 years ago, during my visit to New York, in the University of Columbia, officially invited me to have a speech, but we came up with some problems. From the very beginning, a number of participants started to say abusive language. And then they tried to give a bad impression to the students with regards to my opinions and the speech I was supposed to do. And the third point, thing that happened, instead of allowing the students and professors to ask questions freely themselves, they prepared a list of questions, and the questions were read by a person that was responsible for reading the questions. We think that human beings must be respected. The human societies must be respected. We should have respect for different ways of thought and opinions. Why are they going to impose their values on others? You said that those who left the meeting were the number of those who left the meeting was very insignificant, and they were in minority. And these minorities are going to impose themselves in the world. And this is against moral standards and against the principles of democracy. We want to recommend them. They should be more and more tolerant to listen to others. We would be able to experience peace and brotherhood when we are tolerant and we have the capacity to listen to others. And the last point, they threatened us to war. The Zionist regime threatens us to take military action, but we do not believe in war. We think the solution to the global problem should be based on humanitarian solutions, democratic solutions, based on the votes of the people, and for finding a solution to the six-year-old Palestinian problem. We also seek a democratic solution, a referendum, free elections, with the participation of all people, including Muslims, Jews, and Christians. War and militarism are not the solution to the problems. Rather, they complicate the problems.
Monsieur le Président,
Mr. President, near Peshawar on Friday, where Shia Muslims were at prayer in a mosque, Sunni extremists threw a bomb, killed some 60 people, and this fairly frequently happens in that country, and it can go in both directions. Now, you, each time there's a war between Israel and Arab countries, you protest. But what do you say and what do you do when Muslims kill other Muslims? You may know that over the last 60 years, wars among Muslims caused 11 million deaths, whereas the wars between Israel and neighbors only killed 50,000, 50,000 too many, but only 50,000. So my question is, should you not condemn those who kill in the name of God?
This is new. It's news to me. I never heard of that. We think the regional problem is due to foreign intervention. It's due to imposition of a regime on the people in the region. The people of Pakistan, for hundreds of years, lived in peace and brotherhood. But ever since NATO, under the pretext of bringing control extremism in Afghanistan, and went there and took its forces there, extremism doubled and tripled. We do not consider extremism bombers, Shiites, neither Sunnis. They have no religions. They believe in no religious values. Anybody who believes in faith and religious values will have to love humanity and will certainly oppose slaughter of mankind. We think that if NATO members take their forces from our region, the regional countries will be able to govern their own affairs. You well know that in our region, killing one person is tantamount to killing the whole mankind. And the crime is equal to killing all human beings. If Western countries allow the regional countries to decide for themselves, then you can be sure that you will not witness extremism anymore.
Nefail Maliki, journaliste albanais de Kosovo. Salam alaikum, monsieur le président. Monsieur le président, quelle est la relation de votre pays avec
Albanie? What are the relations between country and Albania? Are you aware that they will soon be building a nuclear power station? And what do you think about the initiative on the part of Tirana? Second question, Kosovo was recognized by 60 countries. Most of them are members of the European Union, but not by Arab countries. Do you think that Iran will soon be recognizing the independence of Kosovo, or would this be some sort of revenge?
Our foreign policy is based on fulfillment of peace, security, and a lasting fraternity. We are looking for a logical solution to world and regional problems, and we do believe that issues on the world level and in the region should be solved based on. We're not after taking revenge, and the issue of Kosovo is falls within the same framework, and it's being considered. And our stance is for sure helping develop peace and brotherhood in the region. That's for sure. We have good ties with all countries in Albania. We also have good relations with them. But the issue of cooperating for setting up a power plant, I just hear this from you. This is what you're telling me. It's new to me.
New thing, and I've heard it from you.
Yolanda Roger, L'Universo, L'Equateur. Monsieur le Président, l'année dernière, vous avez...
Last year, Mr. President, I think for the first time you traveled to South America for the first time for an Iranian president, and I'm thinking of my country, Ecuador. You opened diplomatic relations, and I'd like to know what the context for this cooperation and what sort of cooperation there's going to be between our two countries. Thank you.
Our relations are the beginning of the way. We're developing it quickly. And soon I will make my second visit to Ecuador. One more question. The last question is going to be asked.
The last one.
Mr. President, I'm Ahmad Shawki from the Emirate Press Agency. I'm going to benefit from your presence here in the press conference to ask you about the last development in the Iranian nuclear program. Now, with these different reactions from the European countries and from USA in the conference today and in different occasions, how will continue the negotiation with the European and USA about the Iranian nuclear program? Are you going to insist more about your position in this issue? Thank you very much.
I guess you, as people in the media, are well aware of the details. The issue was one of a political nature and appeared 30 years period after the Islamic Revolution and since democracy was established in Iran. Some European countries and some former governments in the U.S., we saw them in front of us, facing, resisting us. They defended Saddam for 8 years. They gave Saddam full support during the war against us. Even the chemical bombardments of Saddam Hussein against our people, they supported all these attacks. And they never dealt our people based on justice and equality and based on international law. The nuclear issue is one of the same issues, and we think that We are a member of the IAEA, of the, and we abide by the regulations, and we do expect to enjoy our legal rights. So allow me to elaborate on one point here. I think one of the treacherous acts, treasons committed against mankind, is equalizing, likening actually the atomic energy and nuclear bombs. Those who have nukes already, then they have used them already, those very same people are also using nuclear power extensively. These people, in order to actually keep this energy in their monopoly, they liken nuclear power to nuclear weaponry, actually, and they ban other nations and they prevent them from accessing nuclear power. A main problem of mankind today is the environmental pollution, which stems from the ever-increasing use of fossil fuel production, whereas the nuclear power is a clean source of energy and compatible and in conformity with environmental standards. And we do believe that we should say no to atomic bombs, nuclear weaponry, and we should say that anybody who possesses nuclear bombs, they should get rid of them. But we should say yes and welcome to clean nuclear energy so that mankind enjoys a healthy living environment and move toward progress. Unfortunately, some Western governments do not commit. They're not committed to their obligations, but they expect us to pledge to some commitments beyond international law and regulations and execute those. We believe that these days world issues must be resolved through talks and based on logic and justice and actually based on understanding. Those who did not attend the session today or those who left the conference, those people should take a lesson. They did not do anything good, that it was not a good thing to do. They should respect, they should have respected the collective will and decision of world countries. For 25 years, they have said that we wanted to isolate the Iranian nation. And the reason is because the Iranian nation does not bow to unilateral and dictatorial things they impose on the nation. Today's session shows who is isolated in the world and who wants to ignore the will of the minority and to actually impose the will of the minority over the majority. The people of the people of Iran say the very same thing the world people say. We say law must be for all, justice for all, nuclear energy, be it good or bad, for everyone. And if it is bad, nobody has the right to use it. We are ready for talks. And I don't think that what some people tried to do, the way they tried to create it, I don't think this will affect international interactions. I would like to answer all your questions. I'm really interested to answer all the questions. And in the trips I made before, this is what I did in my previous visits. But this visit is going to be very short. And the plenary session was prolonged. I have another appointment. I'm going to see somebody, and he's already here. And I want your permission to end this session, but in the near future, I owe you another press conference to answer all your questions, hopefully, either in Geneva or in Tehran. Hopefully, all of you will be harbingers of peace, love, and brotherhood for all nations.